And after that, I'd like to take some time for prayer and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst. And we want to give the Holy Spirit a chance to minister. Thank you. Again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. And you know, when I come and share like this, I stand under the authority of the pastor, and I acknowledge that, and I thank you for that. And I want to express that to all of our believers as well. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 15 to 29. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send among them. Let me pause there for a moment. As I read that, you might be thinking, what is this guy reading this morning? I've got enough difficulty in my life. I've got enough struggles in my life. I've got enough problems in my life. And he's going to bring this one of these hellfire and brimstone type of messages. And wait till the end. It's actually, it's the word here is, take this wine cup, a wine cup of fury. And your translation might say cup of wrath. And different versions, you know, use that, different words there. A cup of fury and cup of wrath. Some people say, you know, God is a nice God. He's a friendly God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a kind and generous God. Yes, He is. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? God is angry. Angry about sin, about rebellion. And you know, from the beginning, Satan's intention has been to take whatever God created and distort it and to destroy it. That's been Satan's plan from the beginning. See, whatever God makes, whatever God creates is good. It's pure. It's beautiful. And it's the best. What God creates is always good. He doesn't create bad stuff. He doesn't create destructive stuff. He doesn't create things that are crumbling. He creates stuff that are good and lasting. Amen. And Satan's intention then and today is to take what God created, take the good, awesome things that God created, and then twist it and destroy it. And Satan is no different than today. He's the same. But God is still the same as well. And he was always angry about sin. He's always angry about Satan's work in this world and about people joining with Satan's work. He's always angry about that. But he made a plan for us. And we'll get to that plan at the end. And surprisingly, and of course, not surprisingly, delightfully, many of the songs today lined up with that as well. And so we'll get to that here. So God is talking to one of his prophets, Jeremiah. And he says, look, I'm going to give you this wine cup of fury. See, this concept of the cup and the wine was quite common in the Old Testament. And what does it represent? It represents delight. It represents joy. It represents celebration. Whenever there was celebration, there was wine. And that's the way it was in the ancient times, in the Old Testament, and maybe even today. That's how it is. Wine represents joy and delight. But then here, God says, I'm going to give to you this cup of wine of my wrath that I'm going to give to you. And I'm going to send you. Listen to this. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand. So who's giving the cup? The Lord is. And he's giving it to his servant. He's giving it to his prophet. I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Now here's the clue here. Verse 18, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. Oh, wait a minute. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. This is the people of God. This is God's people. His own nation. His chosen generation. His chosen people. This is the nation that God said to them, I will be your God and you will be my people. He said, you were not a people. I made you a people. And I'm taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey. You were homeless. You were nobody. But then I made you a people and I gave you a home. I gave you an inheritance. I gave you all this. I will be to you your father and you will be to me my children. That's what he said to the people of Israel. And he says that the Bible says he delights in them. I see some gray hairs here. I don't have a whole lot of gray hair, but you know, those who have grandkids, you know, you just delight in your grandkids. We only have four, and I just sit there watching them. I just came from there. My son and he has two granddaughters, and he has two daughters, and so I was there a few days and just sit there watching them play. I don't have to do anything, just watch them. And just delighted in watching them, whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter. See, God said to the people, I delight in you. You are my delight, the apple of my eye. So many words that the Bible says about them. But then the cup of wrath, the cup of fury served to his people first. Now that's interesting, but let's read on. Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah, its kings and princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people. So he's beginning with God's people. You see that? Judgment. Begins with the house of the Lord, right? Judgment, wrath, fury, the cup of wrath served to his people first. Then it goes to the nations. Now, I'm going to read the list, though. But you may get bored of the list, but there's a reason why I'm reading it, okay? Please bear with me. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kingdoms of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, all the kings of the coastlands which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of Medes, all the kings of the north as far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, and also the king of Sheshak shall drink after them. Now, why did I go through the whole list? I could have just said all the nations that are there, right? But there's a reason. It's God's word. And if you look at history, not just the history that's recorded in his word, but if you look at secular history, you'll see these nations, they existed there. You'll see the desolation that came on these nations, how judgment was poured out on these nations. It's there in history. So the Bible is not a book of just somebody made up and just wrote something, but God said this to the prophet, and these things happened. One after another, these things happen. When God says something, he doesn't say it for the sake of saying something. He says it because he is in control of history. God doesn't do any reporting. He makes things happen. Okay, news is good. They can report what happened. Now we can get it within seconds, right? And that's nice. But God will tell you beforehand, because he knows beforehand, because he makes the news happen. He makes things happen. He's the one who decides. People may think they decide. World leaders may think that they decide. Powerful and affluent and wealthy and many people may think that they make the decisions, but there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, it is for man to make the plans, but it is God's will that takes place. I love that verse. It is for man to make the plans. You make out all your plans you want. Go ahead. But God's will is going to take place. I love that. You know, go ahead. Make the plans. Do it. Do it. All right. Amen. All right. So, three things I'm going to share with you. Number one, any of you are taking notes. Number one, Jeremiah 25:15 all the way to 29. The first is this. The cup of wrath or the cup of fury is served. Cup of wrath is served. Number one, the cup is full and strong. You saw that in verses 15 and 16. The cup is full and strong. Number two, the cup is first served to God's people. Then the cup is for everyone. We saw that in verse 19:26. The long list that was given there, the cup is for everyone. And then verses 27 to 29, the cup must be consumed. Can we look at that right now? 27. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. Drunkenness is mentioned as a judgment of God. Now, I know among some circles, drunkenness might be seen as revelry and joy and delight, or, you know, some people's, yeah, there's that circle of society too, you know, just that's seen as something fun to do. But the Bible says that seems to be a sign of God's anger and wrath on people. Fall and rise no more because the sword which I will send among you, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name. Look at that. I'm bringing calamity on the city called by my name. Which city is that? Jerusalem. Right? Called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth. So, when judgment begins at the house of the Lord, when judgment begins with his own nation, his own people, this person, when judgment begins here, yes, I know that everyone else will also point here, and I know that's not good, but that's also an indication that all those fingers that are pointing here, it's coming. So God doesn't play games. He's very focused. And from the beginning of time, he doesn't tolerate sin and rebellion. His anger is forced against that very clearly. So the cup is full and strong. The cup is served to God's people. The cup is for everyone. The cup must be consumed. And there's a verse that says, must be consumed down to the dregs. He said, I will make them drink it. And it sounds really like God is angry. And I know there's a whole group of people that says, no, no, God is not like that. You know, God is very different. And to that also, I agree with them. But I agree with this also. See, you know, and so God doesn't change like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we'll get to the point where God has given a provision for us. And that wrath is poured out. So that's going to be my next point. Number two, the cup of wrath consumed. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is there I forgot to mark my Bible, but that's fine. I'll get there. Matthew 26, verse 36 onwards. Ready? I got this new Bible with a bigger text for young people like me. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, watch with me." Then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." I wonder, when Jesus was a little boy at the temple, when they took the scroll and they opened up the scroll and they read from the book of Jeremiah. I wonder, as a little boy, when Jesus heard the words of the cup of wrath being poured out and talking about that cup of fury being serve to the nations. And I wonder what Jesus thought, because he was sent on a mission to drink that cup of the fury of the Father's wrath on our behalf, down to its dregs. I know many of us may have seen the movies that they try to replicate some of the imagery, and it's pretty gross. But the reality may have been much worse. The book of Isaiah, it says that he was like a piece of flesh hanging down from that cross. The Roman authorities, they wanted to make sure that all the people would see that anyone who does anything against the laws of the Romans, their lives would be like this. Their future would be like this. Their end would be like this. They wanted to make a public spectacle of this. There was no private, humane, or little lethal injection type of, no such thing. Make it as brutal and bloody and horrible as possible, and make it a very long, long, painful death. And Jesus, I wonder, the people growing up during that time, they actually saw this. I mean, they, as they're walking to the market, as they're walking to school or to work or wherever they're going, they're seeing these things happening in real life. It's not a movie. They're seeing it actually happen, actual human being on the cross being tortured to death. They're actually seeing that being done by Roman soldiers. They've seen it. Maybe Jesus saw it as a little boy growing up. He walked by and saw people being tortured to death. In ancient times, soldiers were known to be very brutal. Who knows? Maybe taking out their own anger and wrath on people as well. But they were instructed to do this, to make a public spectacle. And maybe Jesus saw all of this as he was growing up. So when Jesus was there, sitting in the temple, listening to the prophet Jeremiah being read, I wonder what went through his heart. And Mary, who bore him in her womb for 9 months, listening to those words, knowing her son is the Messiah, destined to die like that one day. I don't know about the dinner conversations they had around their table. I don't know if they talked about sports or football or whatever they talked about, but I wonder if these things were part of their discussions about what the prophets said, about what the future would be. Maybe about their son, who's sitting there with them for dinner as well. Unthinkable. If our children or grandchildren are in pain, we struggle with that. We can't handle it. It's so tough. But Mary treasured all things, all these things in her heart. It's quite deep. Because her understanding of the Messiah included all of these things from the prophets. The Jewish people, they heard the Torah and the prophets being read in the synagogues. Every Saturday, they heard it. It was not foreign to them. They heard it all the time. They didn't have their own copy at home, by the way, but they heard it. And now Jesus is there. The Garden of Gethsemane. Probably a few hours before this becoming a reality. And the cup is being brought to him at that point. I want you to just imagine what's happening. But then you have to remember that the cup is not only for the nations that I just read the names here, but it's for this person here who has disobeyed, who has rebelled, who has done everything against God's will and God's plan, whose inner nature is to do opposite of what God wants. When that light turns red, I stop, but I don't want to stop. I remember the picture of the little boy who was ordered to sit down. He's got this look on his face and there's a little, you know, that little thinking ... box up there, dialogue box or whatever you call that. And the boy is like this and it says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I am standing up. You ever felt like that? I still feel like that sometimes. I still feel like that sometimes. Then God points at that and says, Alexei, what is this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Lord. That's where I need your grace, even now, again and again. Because the internal drive to go against God's will, to go against plan, is still within us. And I say, Lord, I need you. Today, just as I needed you when I was in my teenage years, I still need you, Lord. I still need your mercy. I still need your grace. And it's your love, your mercy, and your grace that sustains me. If it wasn't for that, I would be drinking that cup of God's fury down to its dregs. I know people I grew up with, people I went to school with. Somehow they didn't get the chance or didn't turn to Christ and weren't able to give their lives to Christ or whatever the situation was. And their lives completely destroyed away from the Lord. What is different with me? They were much smarter than I, much sharper than I, much more brilliant than I. They had better marks than me. They were better in everything than me. But the only difference is the love of Jesus gripped my heart at a young age. That's the only difference. And His mercy was poured out to me. How could He do that? Because He drank the cup for me, that cup of wrath. And then that brings me to my last point here. The cup of blessing that He serves. So the cup of wrath, the cup of God's fury, of His anger, is real. Don't forget it. It is real against sin and rebellion. But the Father, in His mercy, He realized that people were all like me. And out of His mercy, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. I'm going to get to that point here, where He's offering mercy to us. And I don't know why you came to church today. I don't know everyone here. Maybe you've been here a long time. Maybe you are just visiting or just came because, you know, people do this, you know, on Sunday morning, go to church. Or maybe you heard there's some good food here. Whatever the reason may be, it's all fine, it's all good, but I hope you won't leave here without having a relationship with Jesus. Because the cup of wrath is a reality. And then this cup of mercy is also a reality. Let me read that for you here. That's my third point. The cup of blessing is served. So number one, the cup of wrath is served. Number two, the cup of wrath is consumed. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. And then the cup of blessing is served. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Would you turn with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're not sure where it is, Genesis, Exodus, 1 Corinthians. You can look in the index if you're not sure. I'm sorry. I teach Old Testament, so I kind of reference the Old Testament a lot. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Now, when Jesus took this bread and the wine, it was before the betrayal, a few hours before. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Oh my, there's so much to say about it, but I'll just say a few words because I want to get to some prayer time and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work here. Because I know the Holy Spirit is touching hearts today. He's speaking to people in their hearts. I can share a few things, but I think the Lord can get into your hearts much deeper. The Spirit can, He knows the depths of everyone's heart and what's in your thoughts and minds and the inner being. He knows. I don't know. I see your smiling faces. I'm delightful of that. That's good. But He knows every detail of your heart. And He will minister to the depths of your being. The cup of blessing is served. See, so the bread and the wine point to the torture and the death of Jesus. Could you imagine? A few hours before, Jesus takes the bread and He breaks the bread. I don't know if He was imagining, thinking about the torture that He would suffer in His body a few hours from now. Yesterday, as I was traveling, I saw a little small cut on my hand. I don't know where it came from. Maybe I was grabbing my luggage or something. It's pretty small, but it keeps bothering me. It hurts me. And I'm like, why am I bothered by this little thing? Jesus on the cross, His body was just shattered. You couldn't look at His body, how horrible it was. Maybe as He was breaking the bread, maybe He was thinking about how His body would be shed, His broken, tortured for us. Maybe as the He took in His hand. When He took that cup of wine in His hand, I wonder if He thought about all the prophecies from the Old Testament, which are very clearly known to Him, about God's wrath, His fury, and the words of Jeremiah and other prophets who say, "You're going to drink it down to its dregs." Not one drop of God's fury will be left unserved. And Jesus drank it down to its dregs for me. I believe that if no other person in this world were sinners, only this person was a sinner, I really believe Jesus would have died for me. I believe it's the same for you. If you were the only person in this world that was a sinner, and everybody else were holy and righteous, He would have died for you. Because He loves you that much. If anybody is sitting here thinking, maybe it's for other people. They're smarter, they're brighter, they're wealthier, they're whatever. No, it's for you. It's for me. His love poured out for us. And you see the final statement there? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Why is it important to proclaim the Lord's death? Because his death is the fullness, the embodiment of his mercy and his love for us. There were several songs today of the death of Christ, of his sacrifice for us. And I heard several people saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I heard that voice behind me. I heard it. And I'm thinking, who else other than Christians would thank God for death? Because Jesus died for us. There's meaning to that. There's fullness to that. There's value to that. There's depth to that. There's hope in that. It enlivens us because of the death of Christ. Can we stand together? First of all, I'm going to pray, and if anybody here, two things. First of all, anybody here who has not given your life to Christ, or you're thinking, I don't know what anything about this, I don't know what this is, I don't know anything about what you're talking about, fine. But if you're someone who says, you know what, I need God's mercy, that's enough. Yes. Give your heart to Christ today. Yes. And also, if you've been a believer a long time, and you've kind of lost that, the freshness of the gospel, and you begin to feel like, you know, this is who I've been all my life. No, 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 not like that. Keep it fresh in your hearts all the time. He loves me. He gave his life for me. I'm going to pray a short prayer. And those who have never given your heart to Christ, I want you to turn your heart to him and say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. And those who want to renew that love for him, you do that as well. And then we're going to take a moment to pray for healing. Ready? In your hearts, just pray for a moment. Father, I give myself to you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I repent of every sin in my life. I ask you to come and touch me today. Make me a new person. I accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You took that cup of God's wrath and anger, all of that, just for me. I accept that. I receive that gift of salvation. Make me your child. Wash me clean with your blood. And make me your child, an heir to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody has prayed that prayer for the first time, you've given your heart to the Lord or resubmitted your heart to the Lord, please today, before you go, come see the pastors here and let them get your information. I don't know anyone here. I know many I do know. But if anybody is here who's given your heart to the Lord, please contact them. Get in touch with this church. But right now, let me just take a moment for prayer, for healing. How many of you have pain in your body? You have some sickness. You have something that you need prayer for right now. Okay, can you just raise your hands boldly? Yeah. Normally, I do a lot of training for people. This is something that every child of God can do, by the way. What I'm going to do is what any child of God can do. But the only difference here is I have the mic today. That's the only difference. Any child of God can do this. I'm going to pray right now. If you have a need in your body that you need healing from, okay, and you're waiting for a miracle. Maybe you've prayed a long time and nothing's happened. But let's invite the Holy Spirit, okay? Just keep your hands raised and let me just pray. Father, thank you for your people today. Lord, I thank you for the love you have for us. It's just so generous and loving. You gave your son to die on the cross for us. And it's your mercy that did that, Lord. But then when Jesus was on this earth, it was his mercy that he reached out and touched those people and healed the sick, the broken, the troubled. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. Today, we believe that you will do the same. So, Father, I invite your Spirit to come on every person that's had their hand lifted right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You also just invite the Spirit to come into your body right now. Father, may every cell in their body be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I rebuke sickness. In Jesus' name, I command sickness to leave right now. Spirit of infirmity, leave. Pain, I command you to leave. Disease, I command you to go. Every infliction of the enemy, in Jesus' name, be gone. From the beginning of creation, Satan, you have been out to distort what God created and to destroy. Those who have lifted their hands today, Jesus, in Jesus' name, we restore that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. I'm not going to stop there. That clock is not visible, but this one is. I have a few minutes left. There's no hurry. I want you to just check your body to see the pain, how it is. Maybe you couldn't move your hands. Check it right now. Or maybe you had back pain, and where was it? What was it difficult for you to do? Could you not bend? Could you not kneel down? What is it? Is it pain in your knees? Go ahead, test yourself. Right now, go ahead and do it. Test yourself and see how it is. Is it you couldn't turn? What is it? Or you couldn't move? You couldn't lift? Just check it right now. Would you do that? Yes, Lord. Check it right now. Okay? And I want you to think. I won't be able to talk to you. If I was... If I was praying for you one-on-one, this is what I would ask. Listen to this. I would ask. When I was praying for you, when I began praying for you, let's say the pain is at 10. If all the pain is gone, the pain is 0. If the half the pain is gone, it's 5. You get it? When I started praying, the pain was at 10. If it's all gone, it's 0. If it's half gone, it's 5. Check and see where it is. Okay? Just move your hands, your back. Whatever it is, just double check it. If you couldn't make a particular movement in your body, check it right now. Okay? Have you checked it? Okay, now if you still experience even half the pain or even a little bit of the pain, you want it all gone, would you lift your hand again? Okay, if you still continue to have the pain, lift your hand again, please. Okay, I see less hands up. Okay, now those whose hands are down, I'm going to believe that it's gone. Okay, all right. And at the end, I'm going to say those who have receive the healing to raise your hand. But right now, if the healing is completely done, you keep your hand down. Otherwise, please keep your hand raised. I'm going to pray again. Father, in Jesus' name, I invite your Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, with your mercy, your grace, your power. Where your Spirit is, there is power. Where your presence is, Lord, it is automatically your power is there. We believe it, Lord. The power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is here today, and we believe it. So come, Lord, with your mercy, your grace, and your power. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every sickness right now. I command it to leave right now. Muscles, be restored. Ligaments, be healed. Bone structures, be restored in Jesus' name, back to God's created order. I command blood flow to be normal. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Obstruction in the blood, be restored. Those areas that are broken, damaged nerves, damaged ligaments, damaged muscles, damaged bones, whatever it is, in Jesus' name, I command it to be restored, command it to be healed. come, Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Yes, Lord. Let it increase. More, Lord. More. More power. Yes, Lord. More power. Let it flow into the bodies right now. More power. Just receive it. Just accept it. More power, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We still have 15 minutes. All right. Check. Please check. One more time. I'm really serious about this. Check. Okay. What is it you couldn't do? Try it. What is it you couldn't do? You couldn't kneel. You couldn't bend. What is it? You couldn't move your arms, your shoulder. Sometimes maybe you couldn't lift your hands. Whatever it is, just check it. If it's back pain or whatever, you couldn't bend. All right. Check it. Okay. Now if it's restored this third time, don't raise your hands. If it's still the problem is there, I said 10 to 0, right? If it's a 0, don't raise your hands. But even if it's 1 or 2 or 3 or half or more, keep your hand raised. Now, for some people, it will go beyond a 10. Listen to this. Some of you may have experienced that. The pain that you had as we began praying, the pain may have increased. Some of you, the pain may have shifted from one area of your body to another. Yeah, it happens. Sometimes you're being prayed for, you have pain in your shoulder. Next thing you know, your shoulder is okay, you have pain in your knees. It's a spirit of infirmity. I've seen it happen numerous times. Yeah. Same devil, he also doesn't change. He's got his same tricks. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray one more time. Okay, if you still have that, please lift your hand again. Let's just trust him. Okay, let's just trust. Don't be bashful or don't feel frustrated. Keep praying. I had back pain for 17 years. I could never imagine that I'd be traveling like this. In 3 weeks, I was traveling to, 8 or 9 different cities. Which is crazy. I can't imagine. Yesterday was supposed to be a one-hour journey. Ended up to be a 6-7 hour fiasco. I could never imagine. I'm fine. God is gracious. He's merciful. He still heals. Okay? So keep your hands lifted up. Father, once again, I invite your Spirit to come. Let your Spirit flow through bodies, through ligaments. Muscles, tendons, be healed. Ligaments, be healed right now. Skeletal structures that are out of place, in Jesus' name, be restored back to God's created order. Nerves damaged. Father, right now, words that doctors have said, when they said, sorry, nothing we could do. We've done all we can do. Father, I take those words. In Jesus' name, I cancel it. My Father can do it. My Lord can do it. Yes, doctor was right. That's all he could do. That's all she could do. But my Father can do it. He created these bodies. So in Jesus' name, I speak restoration. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the power of the enemy that has wreaked havoc on this earth from the beginning even till today. So I rebuke the power of the enemy. I restore everything that he has distorted. I restore everything that is broken right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let it increase, Lord. Let your presence increase in these bodies. Yes, Lord. And drive out the enemy's work right now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. So one last time, would you check? Whatever you couldn't do. What is it? What is it you couldn't do? Just check. Is it lifting? Lifting your hands, lifting your legs, whatever it is. Just check it one more time. Okay? Yeah. God created our bodies to last 70, 80, 90 years. And I'm praying, Lord, I want to be strong. I want to be strong. all the years that you give me. I'm going to do your work. Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay. You checked? All right. How many of you, the pain or the condition went from 10 all the way to 0? Can you lift your hands? Praise God. Awesome. Okay. How many of you, still the pain is about halfway? Okay. Many of you still there, about halfway. Now, how many of you, the pain has not changed at all? It's still at a 10. Go ahead, lift your hand. No problem, please. One. Only one? That's all I see. Praise God. Okay, two. Two, yeah. Okay, I'm willing to take time to pray after the service more. I'm willing to take time to pray for those who have not received that healing. But let me just say this one thing to you, please. Every child of God can do this. I believe every believer can do this. The only difference between you and me is that I've got this microphone. That's the only difference. You have the authority as a child of God to pray for the sick and to see miracles happen. Where you go to school, these children that are sitting here, I'm always delighted to see children because God will use these children. God will move through children, through young adults, through people with gray hair, and the people who doesn't have a whole lot of hair too. He will use them to do God's work in a powerful way. Let me just tell you one story. Lots of stories, but there's one story I've got to tell you. One guy came to our church years ago, and we teach people how to pray for healing. And what we do is we call people, and we ask the believers to lay hands on them and do this prayer, just like this. And this one man had come visiting us for the first time. Somebody told him about this, told him about this church, and he came visited. That day, he was sick with a high fever, but he came anyway, and his whole body was racked in pain. After the sermon, I gave an altar call for those who are sick to come forward and to receive healing. So this man, he came. He was from a Catholic background. He had his eyes closed. And people are laying hands on him and others to be healed. And in the midst of that prayer, he opened his eyes a little bit and peeked. And he looked, and two little kids were praying for him. One of them was my son. I think he was about 9 or 10. And like 9, 10-year-old kids were praying for him. And, you know, these kids are small, so they're reaching out, laying hands on him. He saw their kids are praying for him, and he got angry. He's like, what is this, kid stuff? Is this child's play? He became angry. He was like, what kind of church is this? This is ridiculous. He stood there in anger. And then after the prayer, he stormed out of the church. And he went to his home, and his wife asked, oh, how was that church? It's ridiculous. I'm never going back there again. This is all child. This is, and he just kind of ranting and complaining to his wife. And he didn't even eat lunch that day. He just went and sat on the sofa and he fell asleep. He slept for about 2 hours straight. He woke up in a sweat, completely healed. No pain in his body, fever gone. He was just perfectly fine. He was in our church for many years after that. See, you know, God works through his people in ways that we don't expect. We have certain ideas of how God should work. No, 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 no. He does it his way, okay? Often, he'll do it very different from what you have in your mind. He'll do it his way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for giving this opportunity to share, Pastor. I appreciate you opening this up, and anyone else, you know, after the service or wherever, I'm willing to pray for people. But when I pray, I wanna have some others pray for them, and I'll pray together also. Thank you once again. God bless you all. Thank you.